morning. Today's reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For it, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this special day that allowed us to witness four of our brothers and sisters having the courage to take the stand and come to You and at the same time dedicate their life to You. We know that it takes courage, but we know that through this You gave us the power of Your Holy Spirit to allow us to go very far in this dark world, and we pray that You grant them the same thing. And now, while we are preparing to receive today's message, we ask You to open our hearts and minds and bless our pastor, and let the Holy Spirit direct his tongue while he is addressing today's message about pardon. Let it be another good experience in our life. Let us be more mature in Your instructions of us, so that we can also remain steady on the right path to Your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
It was a few days ago, someone came to this church and we were going... We were going through the building for some official business, and then this young person stopped for a moment and said, "Is this a Christian church?" I said, "Yes." And then he said, "What is Baptist? What is the difference between Christianity and Baptist? Or what is the difference between my religion," actually, he said, and he gave me the name of his religion, a major religion in Quebec, and the Baptist religion. And for a moment I stopped and I said to him, "First, let me tell you this. that God never established an earthly religion, and that actually God disapproves of all man-made religions. He says, yeah, well, this is a church. This is a religion. I said, yes, yes, it is a building. It's a gathering place. Actually, I said in Greek, the word is a gathering place, synagogi. Now the Jewish people use the word synagogue. Actually, it's from the Greek word synagogi, which means a place of gathering. And we gather together to share our experiences and our love for God, and we do things together, not because we are Baptist, not because we are Protestant, but because we are children of God and members of the family of God. And then I said, I went on to explain to him God's desire to save all men from sin and death. He was listening. He was very carefully, careful and paying attention. In other words, I said to him, to receive or reverse the guilty plea and judgment to death and receive an acquittal and restoration. Thus, the guilty person becomes justified. Now, he was a little confused. Now, we use that word very often, of course. And I said to him that, you know, every one of us needs salvation. Okay, and I continued. The word justification, I said, is used regularly in sermons, books. And books have been written explaining justification, and depending on the people or people's doctrines and leanings toward a particular religion, the word justification has been used to argue, explain, or defend their understanding of justification. 2 days ago, a Jewish gentleman came in from the very religious Jews, and I started talking, and I said, what is your name? He says, my name is Abraham. Well, I said, my name is Joseph. And we started talking about faith. And then almost 10, 20 minutes later, I was discussing with him my faith and you know, what faith is, what Christianity is. I said, may I ask you a personal question? I said, do you believe that you have an eternal soul? Yeah, he says, I do believe that. I said, do you know where your soul will go when you die? He says, that I don't know. Now, I said, but the Bible says that there is an eternal life. He says, yeah, I know that, but I don't. Anyways, then I explained to him, or I told him what happened to David when his little boy was very sick, about to die. And I said, have you read the Bible? He said, yeah. I said, do you remember when the boy was very sick and about to die? He was fasting and was not eating at all, and he was miserable and he was in pain. And then when the child died, he started eating and almost looked happy. Yeah. I said, and then he said, David said, that when they asked him, why are you doing this? He said, because before he died, I was begging God, or I was wrestling with God, I was praying to God. But now I know he's dead and he's with God, and I know that he is not going to come back, but I'll go to be with him. So this Jewish person looked at me, stared in my eyes, and he said, yeah. You see, justification has been misunderstood. Not only by Protestants, not only by Catholics, not only by any other Protestant religion or Catholic religion or Greek Orthodox religion, but also from all other religions, justification. For some religions, to be justified means to not come back to this earth because they believe in reincarnation. To others, justification means that if you do enough good works and if you do all your mitzvahs and all your good deeds and everything, God may decide to whatever. And then if you are a cult, like the Mormons, they believe that they may become gods and enjoy celestial relationships. It is very important for a Christian to have a clear understanding and grasp the meaning of justification by faith. Justification or justified means to be cleared from blame, to be pardoned, or to be acquitted. Romans 5 starts this way. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When a judge turns to an accused man and declares not guilty and drops the charges, immediately this accused man becomes a justified man and he rejoices. So it is with those of us who have made peace with God. We are now forgiven and justified. We are all guilty of sin. Not were, but are guilty of sin before the transformation. Not because we have broken God's laws or sins we have committed, but because we all carry in us the virus of sin. That is, we were born in sin. And in Romans 3:25 we read, but God, the righteous judge, declares that we are now forgiven and righteous before God through the blood of Jesus who paid the price on our behalf. The problem today with many preachers, teachers, Christians, is the misunderstanding of the word justification. You talk to someone about Christ and you say, you know, I have become a Christian. I was baptized. Why? You are a good man. I'm a good man. I've never stolen anything. That's a lie to start with, because sooner or later, something that doesn't belong to us, it's in our pocket or even in our minds, we can steal. I've never committed adultery. I never killed anyone. So I live a good life. That's not the point, we should say. The point is not whether you sinned and you need salvation. It's because our forefathers sinned. And because after that sin, we were condemned all to death. And that virus now goes from one generation to the other, like AIDS that is transferred from mother or father to a child. And for people to understand this is very difficult. It's not my fault. You say Adam and Eve sinned, so it's not, well, it wasn't the fault of that little baby that was born to a mother or a father that had AIDS. It's not his or her fault, and yet is infected, or that virus is there and needs to be dealt with. That's what justification is. We have been condemned to death. The body will die, and yet the spirit goes on. And now we have peace with God. We have peace. There are times when we were at war with God. Verse 10 says, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. We were his enemies, not because we've done something terrible. It's because we are the children of infected parents. Meaning, and this may sound to you terrible, but that's the truth. We all are born in sin. We were conceived in sin. That is the initial sin. When you become a born-again believer or a Christian or a follower of Christ or saved, you can use any terminology you want, and you decide to follow Christ from then on. It's your responsibility to keep your life clean and not sin. But before that regeneration took place, before you were born again, that's why Jesus used the word born again, this is your second chance to make things right with God. But now in Christ we have peace with God. Peace with God is not just a subjective feeling, peace of mind, but rather peace with God means that the sin question has been dealt with and settled by the blood of Christ. Now we have a new relationship with God. We have peace. I don't know about you, but I know what it meant when at the age of 12 I stood up in the church gathering and I surrendered my life to Him. Now, it's not that this was the first time I had heard about God. I come from a very evangelical family, and yet I had not understood what real salvation meant. And I believe that night, I had to go back. It was a watch night service in 1951. And I had to go back home. And I was running. I was so happy. The following day, I was so happy. Now, did I keep that joy forever? No, there came times that I was discouraged, disappointed. Did I ever sin? Yes, I did sin. I served in the Air Force, and there were all kinds of temptations. I had to fight my way until I really rededicated my life completely to Him. But I know what peace with God means. Well, that is why the next thing I'd like to say is, we have access to God. This is because of our new standing in Christ before our salvation. We stood condemned because of sin in Adam, but now in Christ we have perfect standing before God and have access into His presence. The curtain of the temple that separated man from God and God from man has been removed. Matthew 27:51 says, at that moment the curtain of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. I don't know your experience when you surrender your life to the Lord. This morning before the baptismal service, I asked them how was it just before the baptismal day. When they shared with me some things that indicated that they really are convicted by the Holy Spirit, and they are on their way to eternal life because the devil did attack them. Now, the devil is not stupid. It's crafty. The devil will not attack a phony person who thinks he is a Christian, because he says, okay, let him believe he is a Christian. He's not. But he will attack someone who has made a commitment to serve God. He will attack someone who is willing to surrender his or her life to the Lord. And then he will attack him with dreams, will attack him with family members, will attack him with all kinds of situations. And I believe if I would ask you to share some of your experiences in life when you became a believer, you will agree that you didn't. It wasn't easy. The devil was always there attacking you. We have access to God anytime we need to go to Him. Third, we have hope. First, we have peace. Second, we have access to God. Third, we have hope. An unsaved person is without hope. That is why when you ask someone who has not really understood salvation, you say, so what do you think? Will you be going to heaven? And they will say, well, I hope so. There's no hope. And this hope is not like I hope so hope, but rather I have the assurance that God is in control and that I know He will do whatever He has promised. Hope is the assurance of the promises of God and His peace that has blessed us. This blessed hope brings joy and peace in our lives. Four, we have daily confidence. We also rejoice in our sufferings. Believe it or not, you have. And I believe you when you say, you don't know how much I suffered, even though I'm a Christian. Rejoice in our sufferings does not mean that we are happy and rejoice every time we are suffering. But it rather means that even while we are suffering, we rejoice. The true Christian not only has a hope for the future, but he or she has confidence in the present trials of life. The hardest thing to do is when you are going through a very difficult period of time. The hardest thing is when someone has been told that you have an incurable sickness, to say, thank you, Lord, for this incurable sickness. And yet I've heard people who have been going through a very short period or long period of incurable diseases, cancer or other diseases, who will be thanking God. Because I know for sure that this is only a temporary place. Because they know for sure that when they die, their soul, they will be in the presence of God. It's very difficult to understand that. But we remember in the story of Lazarus and the rich man, Jesus gave us that small example of reality in life and death. When the rich man, when Lazarus died, actually, the Bible says, and angels carried him into the bosom of Abraham. But when the rich man died in hell, he looked up and he saw him. So that is, there is an eternal life and eternal death. We have the confidence and his promises. The Christian not only has hope for the future, but the present trials of life are only, he or she believes, are only temporary. The formula looks like this: testing, suffering, plus Christ equals patience. That is, testing plus Christ equals patience. Patience plus Christ equals character, experience. Experience plus Christ equals hope. Please note that we do not rejoice or glory over trials or about trials, but in trials. We have the love of God. Number five, we have the love of God. The Holy Spirit within us pours out God's love in us and through us for others. Apostle Paul is saying that if God loves us so much and did all that for us, even though we were his enemies, how much more will he do for us now that we are his children? We are saved by his death. Verse 9 says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? But we are also saved by his life. Verse 10 says, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Number 6, fine, and my final point, we are now received reconciliation. We now have received reconciliation. Reconciliation, like justification, is a present reality for the true believers and is something to rejoice about. Reconciliation means renewal of friendship, atonement, harmony. God is offering to all forgiveness, justification, and reconciliation. Have you made peace with God? And have you been reconciled with him? In Christ, your Lord and Savior, do you say in your prayers? Until we make peace with God, we can never experience the real peace and joy. Have you made peace with God? Have you surrendered your life to him? Are you following him? I hope you do. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for paying the price for our salvation. We are justified not because we deserved it. We are justified not because we worked for it. We are not justified because we did a lot of good deeds and because we are good people. We are justified because you have opened that small door to us to go through. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit touch each one of us today. May the Holy Spirit help us walk this walk and reflect you in daily lives. May also the Holy Spirit touch each individual this morning. this morning, and may our broken lives, if there are any that are going through a difficult period of time, may these lives be mended and restored. In your blessed name, I pray, amen.